Excision number 23213, reel 13.
I haven't got a...
Major Potts, reel 13. Major Potts, reel 13. What sort of operations were you conducting after you arrived at Squares Farm?
Well, after we arrived at Squares Farm, we were in the White Highlands. Now, each company had about 10 to 14 miles as the crow flies along the forest edge. Now, the forest edge, for 1 mile back into the open savannah-type country, was out of bounds to all natives. Only military forces or police were allowed there, and they had to inform the unit responsible for the area if they wished to go into it. Now, the point was, there was quite a lot of cattle rustling going on from the plains down below, and the Mau Mau at night would push the cattle up through into the forest, kill them, and then take the meat, etc. Also, it was to damage the farming community. We at Squares, were at one time, we had half a troop of East African artillery with I think they were 3.5... inch anti-aircraft guns, which were used for harassing fire into the jungle from time to time. I'm not sure that it ever did any good at all.
Were you able to use those in the indirect
predictive? I never went near them. They just told us where they were going to fire and had we any troops in the area. And we said, generally, we wouldn't put any troops anywhere near gunners. Terrible thing to say.
Were they locally recruited?
Yes, but British officers and British senior NCOs. They're quite well documented in the last war. Each country, Uganda, Tanganyika and Kenya, had East African artillery regiments. And I believe they were quite efficient. And we also supported the police. Now, we patrolled to the local farms, went to see farmers, advised on fencing themselves in and also picking up information on local kikuyu they had, and we often suggested that they got rid of their majority of their labour for the simple reason they couldn't be trusted. Even if they could be trusted, they were got at by the Mau Mau gangs. At that time, Mau Mau had a lot of followers, especially in the White Highlands.
What sort of response did you get from that?
The settlers on the whole were responsive and were very pro the military. They weren't so keen on us because we were African as against European battalions. But I never met any hostility at all. I'd like to say that some of the farmers were cranks, Some were extraordinary. For instance, we had one local farmer called General Hamilton. In the First World War, he'd been a general and retired, and now farmed a large area to the north of our position. And his farm manager was a chap called Ingram, who was, I think, the son of the one-time Bishop of London. And I went to see him one day and arrived, and there was this flag flying from his house for the Union Jack. And the general appeared with a sword and a pistol and Sam Brown and KD, but no badge of rank. And I immediately saluted. And he said, "Well, what's your name?" And I told him. He said, "Well, you better come into my operations room." And I went into the house, and there was an operations room with maps and everything. And he said, "Well, my force patrols this area, and this area." And I said, "Well, excuse me, sir, I have no record of your people or of you patrolling this area." "Oh, yes, I've got," I think he had 8 or 10 Samburu in all with war paint on, carrying very old rusty Lee Enfield rifles. And they had, in fact, shot several Mau Mau in their time and reported it to the police. I mean, he was well known by the police. And so we considered that we would not be required to go to his assistance at any time, because he was behaving as if he was a general during a war. Oh, no. It had a couple of telephones, his telephone and one to, I think he had one to his dairy, where his dairy man was. But it was, it had maps with pins in it, the usual sort of thing. But it was very amusing to find that here was this thing set out, 8 or 10 miles from the nearest habitation. We did, in fact, cross the valley. There was an old, empty settler's house. And we put a platoon into that. It was across the ridge. And it took us about, I think, something like 50 minutes or an hour to get to it. And we had a platoon with one Kenya Regiment officer in it. And they, if you like, patrolled the bottom half of our area. we had a boma, a cattle boma, between us and Squares Farm house.
What is a boma?
A boma is a cattle place for keeping cattle in. You know, you round them all up and put them in the boma, as they say.
Is it an
earthwork? No, it's made of wood and thorns and everything else, and it's to keep the cattle in at night and keep leopards and things out. We did have one problem there. After we'd been there about 2 or 3 weeks, Mr. Squares came to see me, and he said, "I'm losing up to 2 or 3 cattle a week. And they're all checked in at night, and they're all checked out in the morning. There's always one missing." And we said, "Well, it can't happen." So anyway, we said, "OK, we'll put a patrol on the boma and around it." I mean, the boma was only, 250 yards round. And again, 2 nights later, one of his cattle was missing. And the guards said they'd heard nothing. Anyway, eventually, after, as I say, 2 or 3 weeks, one of the askaris did see a leopard going out with a young bullock, I suppose, 18-month-old bullock, over the boma. He discharged his musket in the general direction of the leopard, and after that, we had no more trouble. But it was extraordinary that they could I suppose the height of the fence must have been 6 foot, and they got it out. No noise, no nothing. And most of my askaris in that position work or came from the Northern Frontier District, so they were au fait with leopards. They knew what leopards could do, also, but we didn't have lions there. In fact, if we just go down, we had a lot of rhino around. We had elephants. We had Cape buffalo, and they can be extremely temperamental. And before we went to Squares Farm, one charged a Land Rover of an English regiment and killed the driver and injured two men in the back of the vehicle on the road. We had, as I say, no lions, and of course there was masses of buck of all types, and we used to shoot quite a lot of the buck to feed our askaris. And there was also actually very good fishing there, which I enjoyed immensely. After we'd been there about 6 or 8 weeks, the platoon over the other side had been told to lay two ambushes by daylight.
In the empty house.
In the empty house, yeah. And they were to put a machine gun, a Bren gun, and 3 or 4 askaris, and to get a very good field of view and attack any Mau-Mau that came out or went into the forest. One afternoon there was a sound of firing which we could hear, but we thought they had actually made a contact and took no notice, because we knew that, that if it was Mau-Mau, they would have either been killed or they would have been wounded, and they would be dealing with the situation. However, at last light, or just after last light, our people came in, and they said they had killed, there were 3 white people who had come out of the forest. And
who was in charge of that detachment?
Well, the ones who fired?
Yes.
It was a sergeant, in fact, who fired. But they were, can I come on to this? Anyway, he said we thought they were dressed in green and they had hats on. And we fired, and then we realized when one of them screamed, "We're English," we stopped firing, went up, and we killed one, wounded one, and the other chap was all right. So I then interrogated the one who was all right, and in the meantime, having got on to the next formation, which was the police headquarters at Moega, which was about 20 miles away, to explain what had happened. It transpired that these engineers, they were Royal Engineers, taken the day off, afternoon off, with a second lieutenant, and they'd gone to look and take pictures of game in the forest. Nobody had told them they shouldn't go anywhere near the forest. There was a 1 mile exclusion zone for everybody who was not on military operations. Anyway, the next morning, the proverbial hit the fan. Everybody appeared from everywhere, including the brigadier. And I had to take them round and show them. And where Sergeant Mongela, who had fired from, to where he had hit the engineers, was 900 yards.
That's an awful
a long way, yeah. Well, it was the GP, Bren gun. Yeah. And anyway, the brigadier paced that and everything else. Lots of questions were asked, and I said, well, I can say no more than these people were in a place they should not have been in. Anyway, there was a court of inquiry eventually, and I went to Nanyuki and had a most unfortunate head-to-head with their squadron commander, who said that we should have challenged, which was not on. they were in an out-of-bounds area, and anybody in that area was fair game. I felt very sorry for them, but we had only done our duty.
And what a challenge we heard by 100 paces.
Well, it didn't matter, because you wouldn't have bothered at 900 paces. It would have been a waste of time. So that was that. I heard no more about it. They couldn't hold us, obviously, responsible. What happened to the squadron commander, I never found out.
Was he responsible then for letting this expedition take place?
Well, he was the squadron commander of the engineers, and he had let these people leave camp with a Land Rover to go and take pictures of animals. Perhaps they didn't tell him to go to the forest. They should have been briefed properly on what they can and can't do. Another afternoon, we were going up to the other building. I think we called it the Pyrethrum House, because Pyrethrum had been grown there where the tomb was. When out of the longish grass came four mama. Well, we presume they were mama. They had beards, and they were in pretty rough condition. And they certainly had two weapons and ran. Well, we stopped the Land Rover, and we chased them, and we opened fire when we got down in the valley. They were heading towards the valley. And we got them, cornered them in the valley, and shot them all. They were all dead. And we recovered two weapons. And then, it was then about 5, or half past 5, and I said right to myself, well, what do I do now? Because the only other... I can't remember whether it was 2 or 3. All the rest were Africans with me. Anyway, the driver went up and got... I said, you better go up. We can't get these bodies out of the valley, because it was 100 foot down the ravine, and they weren't in very good condition, i.e. they were covered in blood and everything, and the four of us had never got up before dark. So I suggested that the driver went up and got a 4.5 gallon petrol that he carried on the Land Rover, and I had my... fingerprint and camera kit with me. So we took pictures of the Mau Mau, thumbprinted them, did everything. Then we made a cairn of rocks in the valley. There was a stream in the bottom. And then we put the bodies in the cairn, threw 4.5 gallons of petrol over them, and some brushwood, and set fire to it. By this time it was dark. It took us about 2 hours to get out of the valley.
What was this valley like? Was it rocky?
Oh, so, rocky and steep, and you know, there were all sorts of animals. Because if we'd left the bodies there, certainly a hyena would have been in there and eaten them by the morning. There was certainly leopard, we knew. Anything could have been down there. And that was why I decided we wouldn't leave them there overnight, because they would have just been partially or all eaten. Anyway, the next day up came Special Branch to see us, and we were all interrogated, and you know, did you shoot them as prisoners? Said no, we did not, and we explained the circumstances again and again. And I had said to the soldiers before they went in, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Don't exaggerate or do anything. Just tell them what happened, and that's it. And they obviously did, because we heard no more about it.
Did these guys manage to shoot back at you at any stage while they were...
Well, I can't honestly argue about that one. They might have fired the Sten gun. I don't think we really tried to... I mean, the thing was, in Kenya, you never, or very occasionally, took prisoners, because you didn't... treachery. And they could be very treacherous if they had a weapon. Anyway.
How close then did you get before you opened fire? And
I suppose 10, 15, 20 yards, no more.
So you're running off.
Off them and going down. Yeah, well, I think actually one of my soldiers, who was a very good shot, I think he killed two. And the driver certainly sprayed them with his Sten gun. Or was it a Sten gun or whatever it was?
Probably a Sten gun.
Yeah, or a Patchett. It might have been a Patchett. I can't remember when the Patchett came in. Anyway, we killed those four.
Why do you think the Special Branch was so concerned about that?
Well, I think Special Branch fought. There had been, during our time in Kenya, and was still going on, that there had been times when people had shot prisoners and tied their hands up and that sort of thing. But I never personally came across it myself. And there had been atrocities against Mau Mau I hate to say it because they did a good job, but some NCOs from the Kenya regiment who were small farmers and things like that.
Do you think that was because of the Mau Mau's own rather atrocious behavior?
Well, I mean, if you'd been captured by Mau Mau, you would have been killed straight away. Most probably horribly, dug into the earth and treacle put or honey put in your mouth or something like that. Mau Mau had taken so many oaths that they had no reasoning, or they were animals, really. They had lived. Some of these people had lived in the forest for 2 or 3 years, and the way they butchered animals, to stop the animals moving, they just cut their hocks off and left them. They were really vicious people. Next thing I can think of was one night we were towed at the Harvards, which were really a training aircraft, which could carry a load of bombs, very small bombs. We were going to bomb the moorland. They thought there was an enemy camp, and they were going to bomb it. And we watched them from Squares Farm, or the dairy, go over and up onto the mountain, because it was about 5 miles through the forest onto the top. And the four went in formation, and then only one came back. And we thought, that's funny. Where are the other three gone? Anyway, within 10 minutes on the police radio, because we had a police radio, the army radios were useless. We had a permanent police one. Came back to say they'd heard from the harbour the three had crashed on the moorland. And the reason was they'd gone in, and it appeared that they got caught in a downdraft. And the leader pulled up just in time, and the others were behind him, and woof, woof, woof. So what could we do about it? And we said, well, we will send out a patrol straight away. I had a European second lieutenant, Kenya regiment, and he'd take a patrol and medical stuff that night and make a start to get up the mountain to get at them. Anyway, cut a long story short, they got up there the next morning, and there were the three aircraft on the ground. I mean, they crashed, but nobody was hurt, except one chap had a pretty nasty-looking eye where he'd been caught with his gun sight. I think they did carry two machine guns or something like that. Anyway, we eventually got a message back, and the platoon commander, Derek, said that, there was ammunition all over the place. The bombs were there, what we were to do. And he'd bring back the three pilots. That day we sent up another patrol who took up a disarmament thing, and they blew up the bombs and things. The poor old pilots came back. They were wearing gym shoes and PT shoes, and they'd frozen on the mountain because they were only wearing flying suits and their ordinary underclothes. So we told them not to go flying again in stupid kit.
Were they RAF pilots?
They were all RAF pilots, yeah. I think one of them was a South African pilot. They were all RAF anyway. And a follow-up to that was several years ago, a chap wrote to me and wanted all the particulars of that accident, seeing we'd been involved in what had happened. I don't know where the papers are now, but he was writing a book about accidents, air accidents in Kenya during the emergency. Of course, we didn't have helicopters. We had Harvards, Pacers, and things like that. I'll come on to that in the next bit of the interview. The other thing we got at Squares Farm was an awful lot of aerial photographs were sent up by the RAF in photographic section in, I suppose, Nairobi, saying, we have made our photo interpreters think the following photos show, and there are all sorts of things like saying, this is a basher. We think this may be smoke from a fire. Anyway, we think you ought to investigate. Well, for a fortnight we investigated fires, bashers, you name it, we investigated it and wasted 2 weeks. The fires were low cloud. The bashers were where large trees had fallen down in the forest. In fact, it was a complete and utter waste of time. I would also say at this stage of the Kenya emergency, especially on Mount Kenya, there were very few maps which were accurate. A lot of the maps, the country had not been properly surveyed by air. And some of the best maps were those which were produced by people who took safaris out. Raymond Hook in Nanyuki, his maps of that area, he made from what he could remember and how many paces it was and all the, on what compass bearings. And these were copied. Eventually, I found out that even when we left Kenya, in 1962, I can't remember when independence came, we still hadn't carried out a proper aerial mapping survey of Kenya.
I think independence was 58.
Was it?
57, 58.
Whenever.
Yes.
I thought it was later, but there you are. And we had to do it after we had left. And that was basically about what happened at the 6 months at Squares. We had one or two other contacts where I wasn't present, where we killed one or two Mama.
How did they happen? Were they accidental contacts?
Oh, no, we sent out patrols all the time or following up a load of cattle that had been stolen. We also had a tracker, dog, sniffer dog, a bloodhound. It always seemed to go limp and collapse halfway up the mountain. It was a damn nuisance.
When you sent patrols out, who actually directed them? Did you make a company patrol program? Or?
Didn't really have time for that. You see, we had 12 miles of forest.
Yes.
People go out, you say, 2 days, and they go along, and they say, oh, God, this. One of the great things is tracking. Now, I was a qualified tracker. I became a qualified tracker in Kenya. I was taught by one or two of the best trackers in the world at that time. one died only the other day. Hunter. Not Hunter. I can't remember his name. And these people, they ran a course, which I did for 3 weeks. And then I concentrated on it myself. How old footprints were, how old cigarette ends were.